Ever want to tell a doctor if she just looked at this or asked that question, she might be able to get a better analysis of what might be wrong with you? Well, that's how it is for defense contractors, subject to checkups by the Defense Contract Audit Agency. The agency is beset by backlogs and other problems, and industry has ideas that might help. Joining me with more, Alan Chivatkin, Executive Vice President and Counsel at the Professional Services Council. And Alan, I guess at a hearing last week, some of the people from industry, including your group, were a little bit on their hind legs about the DCAA.
We were, Tom, and good morning. The answer is yes, defense contract auditing is an essential element of the overall success of the acquisitions in the Department of Defense and, in fact, across the federal government. While the Defense Contract Audit Agency is unique in its role within the Department of Defense, other agencies do a lot of contract auditing as well. What the purpose of the hearing from the Armed Services Committee was to explore the current backlog that exists within the Department of Defense for contractors, both in their business systems reviews and in incurred cost audits. These are the annual submissions that companies make of the cost they incur in the performance of contracts. And DCAA's own report to Congress showed that they are almost 2 years behind in being current in that auditing process. So the Congress Committee and the Armed Services Committee wanted to know more about that, not only to hear directly from DCA, but hear from industry, including the Professional Services Council, about what could be done about it.
Well, if they are 2 years behind on their auditing of contractor costs, how is that a contractor's problem?
Well, it's a contractor's problem in several respects. First of all, typically there is money at risk, money being held pending the conclusion of the audit. And when I say 2 years behind, it means it takes DCAA 2 years to do the audit. In many of the defense contractors, the last year that we have, many of those companies have closed audits, that is, all the agreements behind them from the audit, could be 4, 5, and 6 calendar years ago. So in many cases, it's 2010 or 2011. It's the last year that they have closed audits. So it takes DCAA about 2 years from the submission to finalizing that work. So contractors have money at risk. There is records that have to be retained for that period of time, in many cases well past performance. Third, there is a risk that money that is due them isn't readily available. You know, the closer you are to your contract closeout, the greater the likelihood is that current funds are available. The farther you get, the greater the likelihood that those funds are not current, and then the department has to rob from somebody else in order to make those payments. So from a company standpoint, it's a real concern. There's also a concern on the government side. Contracting program offices may not know how much money they have in their program, what the status is of those spending dollars pending the results of the audit. In addition, there are issues about the funding that I talked about on the contractor side also exist on the government side.
Sure. So do you get the sense that the DCAA itself is concerned with this?
Oh, very much so. And it's not a surprise. And to their credit, they've taken on some initiatives to try to shrink that backlog. In some respects, it's a resource question. They've had staff leave. They're under the hiring freeze right now. And some other changes, the policy changes that have taken place. So they're very conscious of it. They share the concern about it. They believe that more resources on their part, more people, more money would help solve it. Our recommendation from the Professional Services Council was to get temporary help, to use the third-party contractors, independent auditors, private auditing firms to help support some or all of their work to help close the background or as a permanent solution. And we've seen that used in the civilian agencies, NASA, the Department of Energy, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, other agencies in the civilian agency side have used the third-party auditing extensively. And we believe it's a model that can work in the Defense Department as well.
We're speaking with Alan Chivatkin, Executive Vice President and Counsel at the Professional Services Council. And what type of person, what type of skills are needed to be able to audit a contractor's costs?
Well, there are unique government contracting and auditing rules, and so you need somebody who has both individuals and companies that have experience working in the government arena. Your run-of-the-mill personal CPA may not be the most qualified. And in fact, we've raised questions about qualification when federal agencies have sought to use some independent CPA firms or independent accounting firms that don't have experience in the government marketplace. But there are lots of companies that have that government contracting experience that can be drawn on. And many of the individuals who are used in those that work are former government auditors themselves. So they have a great deal of familiarity with the rules and the processes.
And if you've been auditing contracts for energy or NASA or other civilian agencies, can you also swing over and do contracts on the defense side?
Very much so, except for some security clearance issues or others. Cost or cost, the regulations that exist today, both in the cost accounting standards and in many of the allowable cost areas, are identical between the defense and civilian agencies. So there is not a lot of differences in the work for civilian agencies and the Defense Department.
So the process is very similar, but the ratios might be different.
Certainly. And the obviously the size of contracts, which is going to restrict the number of companies that are able to do that work. And it may very well be that for some of the largest DoD systems, you're best off using the resources that DCAA has and offload some of the other work, some of the smaller activities to third parties. We said in our testimony that this does not have to be an all or never circumstance, and there may be flexibility that DCAA ought to be able to take advantage of.
In the experience of your members, when DCAA does complete an audit, do you find that the work is generally accurate and true?
Yes. We don't have any concerns about quality. We don't have any concerns about accuracy. The concerns are how long it takes and the volume of work. And of course, it builds every year because every year that goes past, an additional set of over 6,000 incurred cost audit submissions are made by companies, and all of those then add to the queue. So a little bit of extra resources in and of itself is not going to do much to close off that backlog.
And do you suppose that given the backlog and how many contracts there are there, the sheer number of them and the length that it takes them to get through the process, could that be an opportunity for bad contractors to hide fraudulent costs or inflated costs?
Well, there's certainly a risk of that. Again, I think the well-trained auditors, whether they be government or contractors, can certainly find that. But if there is fraud, that's an issue that the government ought to pursue directly. We see referrals from the private sector back to government inspectors general all the time. And they do the investigations, and if they have to call an expert forensics advice, they do so. Again, often that advice is coming from government officials, but many times it's also coming from the independent third-party auditors.
Alan Chavotkin is executive vice president. Let me start it again. Alan Chavotkin is executive vice president and counsel at the Professional Services Council. As always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Read more about the hearing and find a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.